Psalm 46 in the Pew Bible can be found on page 471 and 2. Please turn to Psalm 46 on page 471. Continue with our Gospel through the Bible series. So we'll consider what God has for us in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams may glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's a standard bit of advice for you, and it is to have a home evacuation plan, so that if something goes wrong and you have to get out of your house in a hurry, I'm sure everybody knows how to get out and where to meet up. Now, you put together this home evacuation plan hoping to never use it. But I advise you to have such a plan, because if in case you need one, you'll really want to have it. Now, in the same way, you need to have some fixed points in your mind, some things to go back to in a time of crisis, some things to hold on to that you know to be true. And Psalm 46 gives us one of these fixed points, something to hold on to and always remember, because unlike your home evacuation plan, you will need to use this. And so here it is. Psalm 46 tells us, build your house on this rock. God is our help in trouble. It's a biblical image. God is our rock. He's our foundation on which we stand, our refuge in whom we hide. The only creator who loves his people, who loves them and holds them close. God is our rock. And as this is who God is, out there, far above and beyond every one of us, so as our minds are to be transformed by God's word, what we need is a fixed point in the mind that corresponds to God who stands outside us. And so here is that fixed point in the mind. God is our help in trouble. This is a thought that you are to hold on to in trouble. Now this rock, God is our help in trouble. This is a thought. This is a truth. This is a proposition. It's not a feeling. Feelings come out of it, but it's not itself a feeling. It's a truth. And to have truth be your fixed point in trouble requires that you have a countercultural brain. Because our culture is awash in emotion. We have a very emotional, feeling-oriented culture. I was thinking about pop music. Just turn on the radio and listen to it. Sentiments of this kind, she loves me. Sentiments of that kind, she loves me not. Sentiments of this kind, I love him. Sentiments of that kind, I'm going to kill him. All right, but whatever it is, sentiments of every kind. And then I started thinking, I said, no, why are you ripping on pop music? Classical music is simply a more powerful, subtle version of the same thing. It moves your emotions too. It's feeling-oriented. And you know from the TV, the images rapidly flick by. It's probably possible to make a TV show that gets you to think. There may even be such a TV show, but it's not most of them. Most of them know, keep the eyes glued on the screen by boom, 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 boom. Flash the images by. Keep your eyes glued on your screen. You need a countercultural brain in order to make your stand on God's truth, not on the wash and the give and the flow of feelings and images and emotions. And the Bible is different. The Psalms deal with our emotions. They're very emotional, but they don't make emotions central. The Psalms make God central. And so what we need, first of all, is not how to feel about God. We need the truth about God, and then the feelings will follow. God is our help in trouble. That's where he starts. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, why is that important? Well, down the road, there's a creek, the Tookany Creek. It's pretty in places. You might see it and say, wow, I'd like to build a house down here. Let's build a house right next to Tookany Creek so I can always hear the water trickling over the pebbles. And wouldn't that be great? I wonder why more people didn't build a house right down here next to Tookany Creek. Okay, what would happen if you built your house next to Tookany Creek? Well, we turn to our next point. It says, build your house on the rock because the storms will come and you will need refuge. Verses 2 and 3. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way. You know, if you live here a while, you learn to be very careful about Tookany Creek. It looks like such a small thing. Now, you go down there, high school park, you got a little footbridge. You can stand on that footbridge and look way down the waters far beneath. That water would never get close to that footbridge. Except that I've seen that footbridge stacked about 18 inches high with sticks deposited there by the creek as the creek roared over it. You can drive by on Church Road and you see a fence, and then there's a steep little hill down to a track. There's a big track, football field, playground, and then there's another little fence, and then the creek is down from there. You can't even see the creek. I've seen sticks left in the fence on Church Road from Tookany Creek. It's amazing what storms can arise. And so storms will come. The psalmist goes for an even worse scenario. He goes for an earthquake. I haven't been through a big one, but I gather an earthquake is probably the scariest thing, any kind of natural disaster you're likely to face. With no warning, the earth starts to shake. And everything that should be solid is not. Psalmist says, yes, imagine that worst case scenario. Even then, we will not be afraid because God is still solid. He's the anchor for my heart, the foundation for my life. Even if creation fails, we will not fear. And you can say that creation does fail. Natural disasters are when everything is falling apart and you can lose it all. You can lose everything you have. You can lose your life. Now, we're blessed in Philadelphia. We don't really get hit by natural disasters full on. We get little baby earthquakes. Did you feel it? No. Okay, well, that's not much of an earthquake. We get little hurricanes. They're not that strong by the time they get here. We don't get full force natural disasters. So let's go on to the metaphorical disasters. There are always things that can shake your world. So you ought to think, what if I lost all my things? Would I be afraid? What if I lost people? What if I lost a parent? What if I lost a child? Now the psalmist does not say, we will not grieve. He does not say, we will not weep. He does not say we will not be weary. He does not say we will not be angry. He does not say we will not be cast down. Those are all things he does not say. What he does say is we will not fear. Even with bitter tears, even with having to move fast, it will be an ultimate security because we've built on the rock that God is our refuge. Now, it's one thing to have a fortress. It's another thing to be able to eat while you're inside of it. That is, it's one thing to survive. It's another thing to live, to rejoice again, to be able to move on. And so you might say, well, how will I move on? God is my fortress, but the person that I lost was the person I was looking to give my life meaning. How will I ever live again? So we turn next in verse 4. Build your house on the rock because God supplies his people with life. He says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Too much water is overwhelming. Too much water washes the mountain into the sea. But you need some. And you'd rather it not be a desert when it's just slowly parceled out to you. And so we're told, God is able to supply you with water in the right proportion. There is a river with streams. And it has this glorious effect. It makes the city of God glad. Now that's a little mysterious. When you read the city of God, you say, okay, where are we talking about? You might say, well, Jerusalem, you know, it's got the temple in it, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not aware of any river next to Jerusalem. There's some springs there, but it would not seem as though this really fits to describe the city of God having a river and streams. So it's a bit of a mystery to look forward into. What river do you mean? And what city do you mean? And you can say, well, city's not too hard. A city's really about the people. And so the people of God would be the city. God will supply our needs. God will give us gladness. But the river will have to leave mysterious for a moment. It's clearly a good thing. It gives us the water we need. It gives us the joy. Streams and rivers mean life for the desert. And so God will give new life to those crushed in spirit. He will give not just a bare refuge in some fortress, but gladness again. Life and hope. A reason for living. The things that were gone, he will bring them back. But with the introduction of a city comes new dangers. Cities are not just menaced by natural disasters. Cities are often targets for enemies. And so in verses 6 and 7 we see, build your house on the rock. God overcomes our enemies. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. And as the kingdoms raged, and you can think of the first people to hear the song, to this little God-fearing country, surrounded by many enemies, larger nations, all of whom worship idols, all of them challenging the Israelites. Where is your God? How do you worship your God? Why do you do that? We can relate that to ourselves. There's not many rich among us. We're not numerous or mighty. We know we're vulnerable. And so many scoff, where is your God? Where is he? So it goes on to say, the Lord of hosts is with us. We get a new name for God here. Lord. Not new in the Bible, but new in the Psalm. Lord in all caps. Now, what does that all caps mean? Well, in Hebrew, the special name of God that you have here is Yahweh. And that is the name brought in here. Not just God, the Creator, sort of the general God, but the particular name by which he made himself known to his people. The covenant name. The name that says, you are my people and I am your God. At first, when we spoke of the creation shaking, it was enough to speak of God, the Creator. But when nations arise, each with their own gods, then it says, let's speak more precisely about God. It's the God of Jacob. It's the God who made a covenant with us, who promises to be with us. That's the God we mean. Now, do we worship the God of Jacob? Yes. If you worship the God and Father of Jesus Christ, you worship the God of Jacob. Because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob made a lot of promises. He promised to bless the whole world through their descendants. Where is that fulfilled? Jesus Christ, their descendants. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob promised to give David a descendant who would always reign. Where is that fulfilled? In David's descendant, Jesus Christ. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob promised that this Savior to come would be born in Bethlehem. promised after David.
Who is this person?
It's Jesus Christ. So the New Testament says, the church is the Israel of God. Jesus is the son of David after the flesh. Everyone who believes the gospel is a child of Abraham, and therefore Isaac and Jacob.
So we worship the God of Jacob here. But how can you know the God of Jacob is in fact your God?
Well, the message is always the same. To repent and believe the gospel. In terms of the psalm, you could say you don't want to be God's enemy. His enemies melt when he speaks. You don't want to be one of them. Instead, you want to be in the city of God, in which God protects. In this poetic picture, God our refuge, you want to be in the refuge. And so this happens when we turn from our sins, from our independence, from saying, nobody tells me what to do. Sounds tough. But there's no place for God in that statement. The person who says, nobody tells me what to do, makes God their enemy. Because how does God fit into that? To turn away from that sentiment and turn to God. And not just turn to God in a general way, but in the covenant way that he's given us. The way that addresses our past sins. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we're not to stop there. But notice in terms of the psalm again, where do you want to be? You want to be in the city of God. You want to be where God is, where you are protected and the streams are. And the city of God, we said, is a grouping of people. It's God's people, the church. So we have to come into the church. As our confession says, outside the visible church, there is no ordinary possibility of salvation. And that fits the psalm. God is in the midst of the city. That's why the city is protected. You want to be in the city. Now, what about that river? When I was in college, I was in this Christian fellowship group, and I had a friend named Eric. And Eric said, you know, this Christian fellowship group is pretty big, but we have a challenging environment here. We ought to put together a newsletter to encourage each other. Let's call it Rivers Out of the Belly. I said, Eric, what? Rivers Out of the Belly? What is that? Well, it comes from some translation of John 7. When Jesus is speaking, and he says, and you can find it right now, we don't have the Rivers Out of the Belly translation here. But he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, or belly, will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. The Holy Spirit, this is the river whose streams make us glad. As Jesus said to the woman at the well, you should ask me for living water. And so Jesus gives us this living water. When he was glorified, he poured out the Spirit. The Spirit is the river whose streams make the city of God glad. So when you sing about Jacob, you are connected to Jacob. By faith, you enter into the city of God. You enter the people of God. You have access to the river. And when the God of Jacob becomes your God, you can in security go and see his victories. Verses 8 and 9. Behold the works of the Lord, how he's brought desolations on the earth. He makes the wars cease. Now you can object right there. When has God made war cease? Don't they continue? Don't they continue with ever worse weapons? I have a rapid-fire five-part answer. Number one, anytime peace breaks out, you should give God some credit. Because peace is not our natural condition. Our natural condition is, I want what you have. And that leads to war. Whenever peace breaks out, give God credit. Number two, it's written at the time of David. After David, you have Solomon in 40 years of peace. There was a fulfillment of this psalm right then at the time when it was written. They had peace, regeneration. Number three, God's great peacemaking comes at the cross. When Lord Jesus Christ dies on the cross, pays the penalty for our sins, and removes the enmity between us and God, thereby making peace.
And when that peace of God, number four, reigns in your heart, then you can be a peacemaker and be blessed for it and be called sons or daughter of God. At five, I will concede, nonetheless, there's a forward-looking hope here. There is still a forward-looking hope to when God finally and perfectly makes peace. And we're called here to behold all these things. We're called to marvel at the peace God has made for us with Him in Christ. And we're to look at the church and marvel how Jesus makes those from all nations one. It's been a new thing at Synod. It's not just Americans and Canadians. Not just Americans, Canadians, and Japanese. It's Americans, Canadians, Japanese, and nations I won't mention because this will go up onto the internet. But more and more, the nations come together just in our little Synod. Never mind far beyond that how many great things are happening. And so the result of seeing these things is that we are to be still and know that He is God. We're to be still. One of my buddy's favorite verses. That's the best verse in the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. Not frantic, not terrified, not stampeded, not raging, not malicious, not plotting. Still. So that your feelings don't overwhelm you. They're not a good guide. You have to master them. Still. So that you can know something. Know that He is God. The living involved God. The God with a plan that He will be exalted among nations. He won't be overcome by history. He controls it. And exalted in the earth. He's not overcome by nature. He's not a sorcerer's apprentice unleashing forces beyond His control. Even the earthquake is under His control. And so we have this truth about God. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. It does matter what you believe about God. You need this truth. So when the storms come, whether literal or personal or national, then be still and know that God reigns. That is your comfort. Because if you have come to the God of Jacob, if you have come to Jesus Christ, then the Lord is your God. And you are in the city that has that life-giving river. And no matter the depth of your sorrow, by God's grace, you will know gladness again. Not because of your pluck or determination, but because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So fix this sure truth firmly in your minds, beloved. God is our help and our fortress. When the storms come, then be still and know that He is God. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are our rock and our refuge. And we thank You that You give us not simply a bare existence, but that You've poured out Your Spirit so that we may know the fruit of Your Spirit, know the love and the joy and the peace that You give. So Lord, I pray that we would always have this to go back to. No matter what shaking You may send our way, that we will not be shaken on the inside. Help us always to rest in You. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.